the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
By Rhoda Broughton.
Mrs. DeWint to Mrs. Montressor, 18 Eccleston Square, May 5th. My dear Cecilia, talk of the friendships of Orestes and Pylades, of Julie and Claire, what are they to ours? Did Pylades ever go ventre a terre, half over London on a day more broiling than any but an âme damnée could even imagine, in order that Orestes might be comfortably housed for the season? Did Claire ever hold sweet converse with from 50 to 100 house agents, in order that Julie might have 3 windows to her drawing room and a pretty portiere? You see, I am determined not to be done out of my full meed of gratitude. Well, my friend, I had no idea till yesterday how closely we were packed in this great smoky beehive, as tightly as herrings in a barrel. Don't be frightened, however. By dint of squeezing and crowding, we have managed to make room for 2 more herrings in our barrel, and those 2 are yourself and your other self, i.e. your husband. Let me begin at the beginning. After having looked over, I verily believe, every undesirable residence in West London, after having seen nothing intermediate between what was suited to the means of a duke and what was suited to the means of a chimney sweep, after having felt bed-ticking and explored kitchen ranges till my brain reeled under my accumulated experience, I arrived about 5:30 yesterday afternoon at 32 Curzon Street, Mayfair. Failure number 253, I don't doubt, I said to myself, as I toiled up the steps with my soul athirst for afternoon tea, and feeling as ill-tempered as you please. So much for my spirit of prophecy. Fate, I have noticed, is often fond of contradicting us flat, and giving the lie to our little predictions. Once inside, I thought I had gotten to a small compartment of heaven by mistake. Fresh as a daisy, clean as a cherry, bright as a seraph's face, it is all these and 100 more, only that my limited stock of similes is exhausted. 2 drawing rooms, as pretty as ever woman crammed with people she did not care 2 straws about. White curtains with rose-colored ones underneath, festooned in the sweetest way. Marvelously, immorally becoming, my dear, as I ascertained entirely for your benefit in the mirrors, of which there are about 12.5. Persian mats, easy chairs, and lounges suited to every possible physical conformation, from the Apollo Belvedere to Miss Biffin, and 1,000 of the important little trivialities that make up the sum of a woman's life. Peacock fans, Japanese screens, naked boys and décolleté shepherdesses, not to speak of a family of china pugs with blue ribbons round their necks, which ought of themselves to have added 50 pounds a year to the rent. Apropos, I ask, in fear and trembling, what the rent might be? 300 pounds a year. A feather would have knocked me down. I could hardly believe my ears, and made the woman repeat it several times that there might be no mistake. To this hour it is a mystery to me. With that suspiciousness which is so characteristic of you, you will immediately begin to hint that there must be some terrible, unaccountable smell, or some odious, inexplicable noise haunting the reception rooms. Nothing of the kind, the woman assured me, and she did not look as if she were telling stories. You will next suggest, remembering the rose-colored curtains, that its last occupant was a member of the demi-monde. Wrong again. Its last occupant was an elderly and unexceptionable Indian officer, without a liver, and with a most lawful wife. They did not stay long, it is true, But then, as the housekeeper told me, he was a deplorable old hypochondriac who never could bear to stay a fortnight in any one place. So lay aside that skepticism, which is your besetting sin, and give unfeigned thanks to St. Brigitta, or St. Gengulfa, or St. Catherine of Siena, or whoever is your tutelar saint, for having provided you with a palace at the cost of a hovel, and for having sent you such an invaluable friend as, your attached, Elizabeth de Wint. P.S. I am so sorry I shall not be in town to witness your first raptures. But dear Artie looks so pale and thin and tall after the whooping cough that I am sending him off at once to the sea. And as I cannot bear the child out of my sight, I am going into banishment likewise.
Mrs. Montressor to Mrs. De Wint, 32 Curzon Street, Mayfair, May 14th. Dearest Bessie, why did not dear little Artie defer his whooping cough convalescence till August? It is very odd to me the perverse way in which children always fix upon the most inconvenient times and seasons for their diseases. Here we are installed in our paradise and have searched high and low in every hole and corner for the serpent without succeeding in catching a glimpse of his spotted tail. Most things in this world are disappointing, but 32 Curzon Street, Mayfair, is not. The mystery of the rent is still a mystery. I have been for my first ride in the Row this morning. My horse was a little fidgety. I am half afraid that my nerve is not what it was. I saw heaps of people I knew. Do you recollect Florence Watson? What a wealth of red hair she had last year. Well, that same wealth is black as the raven's wing this year. I wonder how people can make such walking impositions of themselves, don't you? Adela comes to us next week. I am so glad. It is dull driving by oneself of the afternoon, and I always think that one young woman alone in the brougham or with only a dog beside her does not look good. We sent round our cards a fortnight before we came up and have been already deluged with callers. Considering that we have been 2 years exiled from civilized life and that London memories are not generally of the longest, we shall do pretty well, I think. Ralph Gordon came to see me on Sunday. He is in the 77th Hussars now. He has grown up such a dear fellow and so good-looking. Just my style, large and fair and whiskerless. Most men nowadays make themselves as like monkeys or Scotch terriers as they possibly can. I intend to be quite a mother to him. Dresses are gored to as indecent an extent as ever. Short skirts are rampant. I'm sorry, I hate them. They make tall women look lank and short ones insignificant. Anok! Peace is a word that might as well be expunged from one's London dictionary. Yours affectionately, Cecilia Montressor.
Mrs. De Wint to Mrs. Montressor. The Lord Warden, Dover, May 18th. Dear Cecilia, you will perceive that I am about to devote only one small sheet of notepaper to you. This is from no dearth of time, heaven knows. Time is a drug in the market here, but from a total dearth of ideas. Any ideas that I ever have come to me from without, from external objects. I am not clever enough to generate any within myself. My life here is not an eminently suggestive one. It is spent digging with wooden spade and eating prawns. Those are my employments, at least. My relaxation is going down to the pier to see the Calais boat come in. When one is miserable oneself, it is decidedly consolatory to see someone more miserable still. And wretched and bored and reluctant vegetable as I am not seasick. I always feel my spirits rise after having seen that peevish, draggled procession of blue, green, and yellow fellow Christians file past me. There is a wind here always, in comparison of which the wind that behaved so violently to the corners of Job's house was a mere zephyr. There are heights to climb, which require more daring perseverance than ever Wolf displayed with his paltry heights of Abraham. There are glaring white houses, glaring white roads, glaring white cliffs. If anyone knew how unpatriotically I detest the chalk cliffs of Albion. Well, having grumbled through my two little pages, I've actually been reduced to writing very large in order to fill even them. I will send off my dreary little B.A. How I wish I could get into the envelope myself, too, and whirl up with it to dear, beautiful, filthy London. Not more heavily could Madame de Staël have sighed for Paris from among the shades of carpet. You're disconsolate, Bessie.